75 years after its initial publication, Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead remains a cultural touchstone. The book has been translated into 29 languages, and it remains an enduring lightning rod for controversy, amassing rabid fans and critics alike. A saga of sex, ambition, and architecture, The Fountainhead endures not just as the story of Howard Roark, but as a powerful tribute to individualism, not in politics, but within a man's soul. Ayn Rand's ideas are part of the cultural mainstream in a way they weren't even 10 years ago, let alone 75. Rand has become the regular punching bag of everyone from economist Paul Krugman to comedian John Oliver. Even President Obama was compelled to weigh in on Ayn Rand in his 2012 interview with Rolling Stone. Yaron Brook is chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute. He joins us this morning to discuss the book's cultural relevance today, and it's a great pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
Very nice to have you on the program. Give us a sense of the mission of the Ayn Rand Institute and what your goal and work is on a day-in, day-out basis.
Sure. I mean, we believe that Ayn Rand's ideas, her philosophy, life-changing ideas, and ideas that are crucial both for the lives of individuals and for the political life of the country. And our goal is to keep those ideas alive, to keep them in the cultural debate. So to the extent that that she's more a part of American culture, at least a part of the debate in American culture today than in the past, you know, we take a little bit of credit for that. Of course, Ayn Rand herself is the main cause of that. So what we try to do is get people to read her books. We think they're important to be discussed, to be debated, agree or disagree. They present a radical, different, unconventional philosophy for living. And we try to apply those ideas to the issues of the day, whether those are political, cultural, or issues that relate to individuals. We try to take her philosophy and write, speak, and present her ideas to new generations and reintroduce the ideas to generations that might have read the books decades ago.
So give us a sense of, as we talk about the Fountainhead specifically, of how that book reflects the ideas and is often the entry to those ideas for readers, correct?
Yeah, very much so. I think it's a very, whereas Atlas Shrugged, her other famous book, is a very political, a big book, right, all-encompassing. Fountainhead is a more intimate book. It's about the struggle of one architect to fulfill his aesthetic ideal, to build the kind of buildings that he believes in, the kind of buildings that are based on his independent judgment. And it's a struggle because the world out there is filled with conformists, people who want to do everything the way it was always done, the way everybody seems to think it should be done. And for anybody with a new idea, for anybody who's a little different, for anybody who's a nonconformist, it is a struggle out there. The book presents that struggle and presents its ultimate victory. And in doing so, I think it goes to the heart of a number of issues that are very relevant and always have been relevant to the American experience. I think the struggle between the individual and the collective, individualism as an idea and collectivism as an idea, have always been a part of America. You know, the founding fathers struck a blow against collectivism and established a country based on individualism. But that has been challenged almost from day one on an ongoing struggle. And it seemingly today, in spite of all of Ayn Rand's writings, the collectivism, the tribalism, the identity politics, left and right, seem to be winning in the political realm and in the cultural realm. And of course, within Man's Soul, we seem to be in an era of cynicism, skepticism, pessimism about the world, the kind of exact opposite of the spirit of the hero of The Fountainhead, which is a positive spirit of human achievement and of the efficacy of human reason, of human rationality to overcome any problems.
What is it, do you think, that remains, as I mentioned in the introduction, I mean, there's still a controversial aspect here, and it is much debated. And I'm curious if that is not reflective where we are right now by just how polarized we are.
Yeah, but I think the polls, I mean, I'm going to take an unconventional view and say that the polls are not that different from one another. I think that Democrats and Republicans are not that different. They're basically bouncing off of each other. As I said, it's identity politics on the left and identity politics on the right. It's statism on the left and statism on the right. And I think the reason Ayn Rand is controversial, the reason Ayn Rand is hated both by the left and the right, conservatives have always been very critical of Ayn Rand, is that she really offers an alternative to both so-called poles in our political and cultural spectrum today. She basically says, no, statism and collectivism are wrong. It's about the individual's capacity to take care of himself. It's about his moral obligation to live the best life that he can for himself, being rational, neither sacrificing to other people, but not demanding or asking other people to be sacrificed to him. So living a truly independent life of integrity and independent thinking, which again is what the Fountainhead represent. And now, many, many people out there in the culture oppose that. They don't want people to think for themselves. They don't want people to live for themselves. We all grew up in a moral environment of that venerates altruism, the idea of sacrifice, the idea of selflessness, the idea of living for other people's happiness. And here comes Ayn Rand saying, no, no, no. You should live for your own happiness. You should really strive to be happy. And by the way, here's some tools to do it. Basically think, use your mind, you know, don't succumb to emotions and don't succumb to the group and don't succumb to other people's opinions. Guide your life towards your own happiness as an individual. And that led her to political theory and to an economic theory, which basically says what we want is to live in freedom, where the government does not dictate anything about our lives. It protects us from crooks and criminals and thieves and terrorists and so on. But otherwise, leaves us free to pursue our happiness.
I was working on a project, quite a different project, last year in doing a documentary on Phil Donahue, the talk show host. And he did some wonderful interviews in the 70s, early 70s and late 70s with Ayn Rand. And I watched them, and it was fascinating of looking it through the lens of knowing that it was the 70s and watching them today. That there was really, it seems to me that there was never a time where she wasn't controversial, right? I mean, there was never a time where there weren't going to be people that audience who were booing what she was saying.
Absolutely. I mean, she was controversial 75 years ago. She was controversial in the 70s, and she's extremely controversial today. People try to silence us on campuses, and Robert Reich did a video condemning Ayn Rand and linking her to Donald Trump, which is a complete travesty. So she is a punching bag and continues to be. And I take that as somewhat of a compliment, the fact that she still is. People recognize that she is the real alternative, that whatever is going on in our culture today, the person really challenging that, the person that has introduced new ideas and actually challenging conventional wisdom, again, both left and right, was Ayn Rand. And if you want to kind of win the culture debate, you have to attack her. So I view that as a good sign. It means she's still relevant and still out there. But it's going to be a long time before her ideas become ideas that are embraced by a significant number of people. They're very challenging. They're very difficult. They go against the grain. They probably belong more in the era of the founding of the country than they do today, as we become more, again, more collectivistic and more tribal, which is really sad.
Give me a sense of the argument of linking Ayn Rand and Donald Trump. I don't get that, but help me out there. And what do you, and
well, neither do I. And I hate to give that credibility by arguing for it. Trump once said that.
Let me just rephrase the question. And he read a book. Oh, okay. The other thing is, let me ask it this way, which is, What do you think Ayn Rand and the beliefs and the society? I'm sure you have had programs of Ayn Rand in a Donald Trump world.
Yeah, I mean, I think she would be horrified by the state of the world today and horrified by Donald Trump's presidency and by the steady movement that it represents towards authoritarianism. I think we've had two presidents now, because I consider Obama in this thread as well, that have moved us closer towards authoritarianism and that have encouraged more and more kind of collectivistic thinking. I mean, he is a central planner, just like the left is. And indeed, it's surprising to me that the left attacks him so much, because much of his agenda is theirs. So I think that Ayn Rand would be horrified by him. You know, the lying, the lack of integrity. It was so important for her that her heroes be individuals of integrity, of honesty, thinking individuals, not people who just tweet their emotion of the moment, but people who are really thoughtful about the ideas that they hold and how they communicate them. So I think he represents one of her villains, not one of her heroes. And she would be saddened by the fact that, in spite of the impact her philosophy has had on the world, it has not had enough of an impact to guide this culture in a different direction than where we are today, because it's not like the alternative to Donald Trump is any better.
Well, politically, but there are other alternatives, right? I mean, there are beliefs out there that are more in more in line, right?
Yes, and but again, those ideas are not yet dominant or not yet close to being dominant, and they're still somewhat in the shadows, and she is still being attacked. So, but yes, I think there's certainly culturally better ideas out there than what is reflected in our politics. But you also have to worry about the state of our universities, where our young people, stop speakers from speaking, they deplatform people, they close their ears to opposing ideas. They want safe spaces because emotionally they can't handle new ideas. That is not a healthy world, and a world, again, that I think she would have fought against. She was very much for a robust debate, and to challenge one another, and not for silencing people because one disagrees.
I agree with you to the point that that silencing is not good. However, the kids and I mean, especially, and I'm asking this question in light of what happened yesterday on campuses, school campuses, high school campuses all across this country, where kids go out and they're doing something and they're saying something and they're saying something meaningful. And I don't know, that's good, isn't it? I mean, I think even if you're being a part of the system, I understand your concern that it's people brushing away an opposing view, but I'm also encouraged by seeing young people who are involved in the process in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I'm encouraged. I worry about how much of it is their own thinking and how much of it is them conforming to the view that they're supposed to hold. And I don't know. I don't know enough about what happened yesterday and enough about the people who left their schools yesterday to have an opinion, strong opinion about it. But I suspect that many of those kids are not qualified or have no view on issues that they were protesting, and that they were doing what their friends told them to do or what their teachers told them to do or what they felt was right. I think we're at a very low point in our culture in terms of the ability to have a rational debate about almost anything. And just because people, I mean, these kids have been trained since they were very young to emote, to express their feelings. But life is not about expressing your feelings. Life is about thinking through problems and offering rational solutions to things. And I think we too much coddle the emotion and dismiss the rational for the culture to be healthy.
I will argue with you on the fact that I think that the kids who are coming out and are part of the process, and I understand the question of the motivation. However, if they're coming out and they're speaking out because they were part of something, that their personal lives were threatened, And they're concerned about something, and they're speaking out about it. I don't think we can have it both ways. I don't think we can say that they're coddled, and then by the same token, dismiss them when they come out and they go on the floor of a state legislature and say, "Listen to me."
Sure, but they're defending a very safe position. Not that I disagree necessarily with their position, but it's a very safe position. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope it's much more meaningful than what I believe it is in terms of representing this generation. But my fear is that they're doing what they're expected to do and not what they necessarily know. And at the end of the day, all these issues, you know, the real issue about schools is not an issue about guns. It's about the kind of education these kids are getting. The real issue about free speech in our campuses is about what is being taught, and the attack on free speech comes again from both sides, and it's real tragic. I don't see reassuring evidence out there in the culture that kids are energized to think about solutions to problems that they face. And I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see the evidence. I think they latch on to conventional wisdom and they run with it. And in that sense, most of them are conformists.
Yaron Brook, we're out of time. My apologies, but thank you for joining us. Chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute, the 75th anniversary of the Fountainhead. Thank you for being with us. A great pleasure.
I enjoyed it. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.